Life is the title tonight. The beautiful song we heard tonight. God's been there. You think of Joseph's life? God was there all along. Think of our own lives as well. So we're going to look at the shortness of life tonight. I was talking to Christy this morning. I remember when we were like teenagers. You know, you would always hear that question. Would you want to know when you die or how you die? I was like, neither. I don't want to know. But hey, the day's going to come where we're going to leave here. And so, but God wants us, with the short time we have, to spend it applying it to wisdom. So that's what Moses teaches. And then also later on, we'll turn there to Psalm 39. So look there at Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth. Even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. So life is uncertain, but the only thing that is certain is God. And so God is everlasting. He's eternal. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And so one day they're going to bring our name up, and there's going to be a story there. How this person lived. You think of the preachers of old and how, you know, the ministry that God had blessed them with. And you just think of our own lives as well. What will our family members say about the life that we lived? The days of our years are 70 years. I like this part. And if by reason of strength, they'd be 80 years. So if you get a little bit extra time, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So Moses here is saying, even if you get a little bit of extra time, it's still short. It's still a short life compared to how God is eternal. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And then our main emphasis here tonight is verse 12. So teach us. So if God's eternal and man is fragile, and if man will only get a little bit of time here on earth, then how should we spend that limited amount of time here on earth? There in verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Moses says, there's not a whole lot of time you'll get here on earth, but that short amount of time you have, apply it to wisdom. Do something for the Lord. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Father, just thank you for tonight. Thank you for just your many blessings today, just meeting with us here this morning, speaking to our hearts, and just looking forward to tonight, looking at how short life is. But hey, we have a short time to do a work for you, and so you have a plan for each and every one of us. And just thank you that you're always there guiding us, protecting us, leading us, giving us everything that we need. We have your word tonight that's inspired. It's profitable for us, for our ministry, for our lives. And so help us tonight. Be with some of the prayer requests that were mentioned here tonight. Just think of Miss Katie, and then also Brother Kenneth and Miss Mary. And then also Miss Sarah as well, getting close to delivering her third child. And so just a lot going on. We pray that you'll meet the needs there. And a lot of uncertainty, just like this morning that we heard with Job and all the uncertainty that he went through. But there is one thing that is certain, or one person, it's God. And so we always know you're always there for us, and so thank you for that. And so bless our time together here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So an intriguing topic for anyone is on life, right? How long you're going to live, how old you may be when your time comes, when you pass away. And so Psalm 90 deals with the subject of life. And so Psalm 90 is written by Moses. So it's the oldest psalm out of the 150 psalms. And so the psalm deals with the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And it will continue to be important and puzzling until the return of our Savior. So here in Psalm 90, we're dealing with the eternal God and frail humans, the fragile, just how man is fragile, or a whole existence is fragile, a holy God, a sinful man, life and death, and also the meaning of life in a confused and difficult world. So here, the verses that we read from verses 1 to 12, we find the psalmist Moses giving the reader a contrast between God and man. So you think about God, he's everlasting, but man, he is finite. He is limited. He may be very healthy and strong and able to do something great for a time, but eventually he's going to pass away. And so Moses emphasized the eternal nature of God and the fragile nature of man. So because of life being so uncertain, we have to turn our focus there to God and to how we should spend our shortness here on earth. So in the midst of challenges, in the midst of adversities, in the midst of responsibilities, God is our dwelling place. And it mentions that there in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So if you look at all those different generations up to this point, even to today, God has been our dwelling place. So in other words, God is our oasis for refreshment and encampment. He is our dwelling place. So God is the saints' eternal dwelling place. And so here, the idea here of Psalm 90 is that of a traveler. And so he's traveling from one place to the next. And so Moses here is introducing the idea of here being travelers. And so we are on this journey of life. So for all mankind, life is a pilgrimage from birth to death. And for believers, it is a journey from earth to heaven. And so it's a journey. How are we going to spend that journey? Are we going to live for God? Are we going to do exactly what God wants us to do? So if life is filled with many difficulties, even for the believer, then the believer needs some relief. We need some safety. We need some refuge in our life. So where is the relief? Where is the refuge? Where can we turn to in life? And so as a child of God, we find relief in the eternity of the Lord. So God has that timeless existence, and so we can trust Him. So when all else fades and vanishes, God is unchanging. He's a home. He's a refuge for His people. From all eternity and to all eternity, God is infinite. He's eternal. He's unchangeable in His being, in His wisdom, in His power, in His holiness, in His justice, in His goodness, and in His truth. So because God is all those different things, because God has all those attributes, then we need to focus on Him. We need to make sure that we're living our lives for Him. So the God that possesses all those amazing attributes desires to have a relationship with man. Because if you look at Psalm 90, there's not a whole lot of positive feedback on man. You know, man is sinful. Man is just here for a short time. But God wants a relationship with us. So God has been the shelter that man runs to generation after generation. God has been that refuge that man has desperately needed. And so God is above the limitations of time, but man is mortal. So God is everlasting, and man has a limited amount of time here on earth. So think about this. The one, which would be us, the one that has a limited amount of time should allow the one that is everlasting to guide their lives. If we're limited here on earth, which we are, we should allow God, who is everlasting, to guide our lives. He's powerful. He's holy. He's full of justice and goodness and truth. So if He's all those things, then we should allow Him to guide our lives and allow Him to protect us and to give us that direction that we desperately need. So are we allowing God to guide our lives? So God was there for Abraham. God was there for Jacob. God was there for Moses. And He is there for us as well. So you think about God, time is nothing. In history, there is much that transpires in the period of 100 years, or even in a period of 1,000 years. But as you look at the verse there, it says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. It says that there in verse 4. So to us, it's like, man, 10 years, that's kind of a long time. But if you look at God, that's nothing to Him. And so God is timeless. Life is brief and are spent under God's wrath on sin because of the decision made by Adam and Eve. So you think about Moses. We know him being there in Egypt. We know that after he spent 40 years in the wilderness leading a nation of complaining former slaves, you think of the Jewish people. So he was leading God's chosen people. And these people didn't always appreciate God or even the leadership of Moses. And even if you go back and study Numbers 33, there's a lot of places that are mentioned. There's 42 specifically places that are mentioned and where God's chosen people camped during their journey. But God knew exactly where they were going. So God knows every detail about your life. So time is nothing to Him. Detail is nothing to Him. But no matter where Moses lived, God was always his home, his refuge. So Moses learned in his life how to abide in the Lord. So Moses knew that in God, who's all these different things, who possesses all these different attributes, he knew where to find the strength. He knew where to find the comfort, the encouragement, and help for each day's demands. So there in verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So Moses conveys in verse 12 that while man has breath, their life should be applied to something important, which is wisdom. Not living for yourself, not living for the world, but living for God, applying it to wisdom. And so the wise applies themselves to obtaining a heart of wisdom. So wisdom, you think about that area, that subject, it begins and ends with the Lord, as the wise seek the Lord in all of their ways. So man must understand that their life is limited. It mentions there in verse 9, that the day of man is spent as a tale that is told. So God, we've all known people. We have all known people that have lived for many years, but we also have known people that have lived a short time here on earth. So life is brief. It's brief and passes swiftly, which means if there's just a short amount of time, you must make the most out of it,
right,
no matter how long we have here on earth. So you think of man one day, they're in the prime of their life. You think, I know many of you know that I like sports, all the different athletes that have come and gone, and just how athletic they were there for a time, and then you begin to see their bodies break down, or even maybe some of our loved ones that are very healthy and active, and then you begin to see that as years go on, their health begins to decline. So man may be in their prime for some time, but that strength will not last forever. Man will be strong physically, mentally, but then for a time, finally, they will be weak. So man is limited and always changing, but God never changes. So man has changed throughout time. Even us, right? Our bodies change and a lot of things happen, but God never changes. So the words from Moses challenges the believer to refuse to waste the life that God has given them. God has a will for our lives, and that will should be followed in our lives. So you think of someone that's been diagnosed with cancer or some type of illness, and many times they're told by the doctors that they have a limited amount of time to live. So you would think from that point on, then there's not going to be a day that they waste because they know they just have a limited time here on earth.
Right.
So they're going to make the most of the time that they have left. So that would really change the perspective of an individual. So the perspective would no longer be, well, it was just another day, or hey, I have this day to waste, or this time I have a lot of time left. But no, if someone tells you that you only have a limited amount of time left, then you are counting down the days. You realize that your days are numbered.
Yep.
I believe it's there in Job chapter 14. It talks about your days being determined. And so when a doctor gives you that type of diagnosis, you know that, hey, I only have a limited amount of time left here on earth. But they would really appreciate the casual moments of life. Their days were limited, so they would cherish the moments with their spouse, with their children, with their friends. So when the doctor gives you the terrible news, it makes you ponder on the sobering thought that you must number your days. But even if we are healthy here tonight, we're still in the same boat that, yes, we still only have a limited amount of time. Our days are numbered there as well. So this life that we have from God should be cherished. This life as a Christian should not be lived in such a wasteful way. God has given us opportunities to serve Him. God has given us the opportunities to be involved in the local church, to invest in people, to be a blessing to people, to try and be an encouragement, and do anything we can to just to be a help to the people that God has brought into our lives. So we only have a limited amount of life on this earth. There should be some type of movement in our lives. We should be busy serving God. We should be busy trying to do something for Him. So tonight we have some children here, some teenagers. I'm sure that they would think that they have all the time in the world to live their lives. But the harsh reality is that we will not live forever. There's going to be a time where we'll get older. So we may be so wrapped up in our own little world, but our life is limited. Each day that we have in this life should be used in a way that is pleasing to God. The life that we live should be lived in such a way where it exalts God. It magnifies Him in the manner that we live.
Right.
So we think of future plans. 5-year plans or 10-year plans, or you think of retirement plans, trying to prepare for the future. But we must live this life a day at a time. So if God gives us another day of life, that is another day to use for Him and for His glory. Now, none of us are rich in here, so you know we have to budget money because we only have a limited amount of money, so we have to budget it for whatever it may be. That is the same thing with time. With our life, we only have a limited amount of years, and we have to make sure that we're using it in the right manner. So as you look back on your life, it would be a shame to find that we lived our life on the path of wickedness instead of on the path of wisdom. Living our short life on the path of wisdom. So as we look back on our lives, it would be a shame to see all those opportunities we had to witness to others, and some of those opportunities where we didn't take advantage of those given opportunities, right? Trying to reach people. You know, many times we ask God, hey, give me somebody to talk to, and they're right there, and we kind of miss that opportunity. You know, we may be bashful or something, but there's opportunities that God gives us to try and reach people, to give them the gospel, to invite them to church, to just be an encouragement to them. And then also, as you look back on your life, it would be a shame to see how you worried your life away instead of trusting and having a completely God-dependent perspective. Trusting Him, just trusting Him every step of the way. So as you look back on your life, it would be a shame to see how you allowed bitterness to control your days of life. You think of people that have addiction and things like that, and that takes a large portion of their lives many times. And then finally, maybe they have that opportunity to get things right. But, you know, you think of looking back on your life, there may be some years where we wasted when God was trying to get our attention or maybe had something for us to do for him. So we must learn to enjoy life. So this is not our home. You know, I think of the Christian life, it's a very interesting dynamic when you think about it most of the time, because you think we're in this flesh, but we're not to live according to the flesh. And then we live here on earth, but we're not to be so focused on earth, we're to be focused there on heaven. And so we must be looking forward to our heavenly home. But in the meantime, we can enjoy life. Enjoy life with our church family, with your own family, with your kids. Enjoying the life that God has given you. So if you have another day of life, then you must be busy for him. If you have another day of life, then you must apply your heart unto wisdom. So Moses here is teaching that the older you get, the better you understand that life is brief and moves past very swiftly. Right? You just blink and your kid ages like 10 years already. It's like, man, what just happened? I always tell Joshua sometimes, like, hey, just stop growing for a second. He's like, I can't do that. And so we can't do that as well. Just, you know, you just blink and just at the snap of a finger, someone's older and just all different things that are going on. So life is brief and moves past very swiftly. So God dwells in eternity and is not limited by time. Surely we don't have any procrastinators in here. You're like, hey, I have enough time to do what, you know, whatever it is. And then boom, the deadline's there. And so just life, it moves past very swiftly. So God dwells in eternity and is not limited by time. God can cram many years of experience and work into one person's lifetime or make the centuries flash past like the days of the week. So only God is eternal. And we humans are like objects suddenly swept away by a flash flood of grass that comes and goes. You kind of wonder about that too. You know, you think we're just here for a short time. I wonder in our nature, I wonder if that's why we're impatient, because we're only here for like a short amount of time. And so God, he doesn't deal with that. God is a very patient and long-suffering God. And so he doesn't work on time like we do, especially in the West, right? We're in the West and the culture, everything is just so fast. So God is eternal. And so we're like humans, are just objects suddenly swept away by a flash flood or grass that comes and goes. And so in the Eastern culture, the grass often grows on very thin soil and has no deep roots. And so a field will be lush and green in the morning, but become withered before nightfall because of the hot sun. So it looks good. So you think of like an athlete, they look good for a short time, maybe 10 years or so. And then boom, then, you know, they're no longer that athletic anymore. You think about us as people, we're healthy. And then just like that, we're no longer healthy. We're no longer what we used to be. So God is the one who commands us to turn back, and we need to fear and honor him and use our lives for his glory. And so Moses is saying, before you go away, we must learn to live for God. He gives you another day of life, so use it for him. Use it for his honor and for his glory. So Moses strives to get across in this psalm that life is something that must be enjoyed, and a part of that is applying your short journey of life to wisdom. Enjoy life while you're trying to search for God's wisdom. Allow God and life to teach you to value each day. You think of growing up, you know, the summers that you had, and you think even as a kid, you know, the summers felt very long, and you kind of just waste your whole summer. But, you know, as an adult, you know, you have just a limited amount of time left, and so no day should ever be wasted. And so turn there to Psalm 39. We're going to look now at the perspective there of David. He talks about the same area of life, the brevity of life, and how short life is. And so the best life to live is a life that's lived for God. And so we're able to take advantage of the opportunities that he gives us. Even though life is short, we have opportunities to serve him and to do a work there for him. So there in Psalm 39, it's another passage that deals with the span of life. For man, that life is being short. So David would write about these sobering facts years later after Moses. So God will allow David to think about the frailty of man and how short life is. And we know David, right? He's the one that defeated Goliath, and he was a great man of war. And so this was a man that had a good prime, therefore a good time. But we find that even God had to remind him that, hey, man is only here for just a short time, and then they go away. And so look there at verse 4 there of Psalm 39. It said, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, So, you know, you're measuring something because there's only a certain amount there. And so he said, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. So that's the problem there, is knowing. Many times we don't think that, hey, we just have a short amount of time here on earth. He says, God, teach me, show me how frail I really am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. And so that was the smallest measurement there in the ancient Israel days. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So he wasn't comparing man to man. He was comparing man to God. So when God is compared to man, man at his best state is altogether vanity. He says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. So it's a lot of uncertainty surrounding David, but he's saying, hey, I'm just going to hope in the Lord. I'm just going to focus on him, even though I have no idea how long I'll be here on earth. Yeah. So he's giving some wise words pertaining to life. So the words of David in this psalm cause the readers to pause and think of the shortness and the frailty of life. So thinking about the shortness of life should drive us to great dependence on God and great earnestness about life and doing good in the short time that is available. So you're thinking, hey, we just have a short time here on earth, so we should depend on God and we should have some great earnestness about life and we should do good in the short time that is available. And so I'm sure we've all agreed that our days here on earth are limited. So no matter how long we have here on earth, our purpose in life is to serve and to worship God. And so David here is making a contrast as well, just like Moses did, right? God is everlasting, man is finite, but and it's the same contrast that David is making here as well. God is mighty and man is feeble. So in an overview of Psalm 39, we find that David acknowledged the few days of life that we have. He submitted to the knowledge that his life was brief. So David mentioned how he needed to measure his days because how frail man is in their life. To measure it, so you only have a short amount of time, so you need to do something there for the Lord. So David cast himself wholly on the Lord to make his brief sojourn in life enjoyable, because he said, even man at his best state is merely a vapor. So you think about all the great athletes we've had over, you know, the course of time, all the great people we've had, but he said, people at their best state is just vanity. They're nothing compared to who God truly is. We're just here for a short time, and then we're gone. So is the life that we're living considered to be wise in the sight of God? Because it makes you think, if life really is that short, like the Bible says it is, then we should be spending that time living for the Lord. When people, you know, talk about our lives, you know, years from now, like, hey, this person was faithful to God. This guy did exactly what God wanted them to do. So in our lives, we must pursue wisdom and not success. And David mentions that there as well, that, hey, these people, they had this short amount of time, but they used it in the wrong manner. They were heaping up riches when then they were trying to figure out who was going to take all these riches once that person passed away. And so they were not living the way that they should have. They were living more for success and for gain instead of living there for the Lord. So our lives are limited, so we should make sure that we value each day of life. And we must spend each day that we have in obedience to God and in such a way that it will count for eternity. Because we're not going to be here forever. So the life that we live, we should try and make it count for eternity. Enjoying the brief days here on earth. So David learned, since life is short, the only real meaning of a man or woman's existence must be in their relationship to God. So it's really not even about what they accomplish. It's about how did God see them. Did God know them? Did God have a relationship with them? And then if they did, what did they do for God? So it wasn't even about what they did for themselves, but what were they doing for the Lord? And so David here in verses 1 through 6, David made an acknowledgement of life's brevity, the shortness of life. And so he submitted to the knowledge that his life was brief. So he resolved not to sin with his words. He kept silent in the presence of his enemies, but suppressing his feelings only aggravated his suffering. And then second, he sought relief from his frustration by submitting to the Lord's determination of his life. So he prayed that the Lord would help him know the brevity of life. He's saying, Lord, show me that life is short and that I need to make sure that I'm making the shortness of life that I have, that I'm making it count for you and for eternity. So this prayer was prompted by the awareness that life is brief in duration, like a hand breath or just a breath, right? We just take a breath in. It doesn't last very long. And so that's what David had to realize, that, hey, I'm not here for very long. So the hand breath was one of the smallest measurements in ancient Israel. And he's saying that's what man is. So it's like man was the smallest measurement there in ancient Israel. So man is nothing compared to eternity. Man is nothing. Man is just here for just a short time compared to how God is eternal. So David understood how people would feel themselves to be established in his day, even when it seems that people are strong and self-assured. Right? David was a man of war. David had his mighty men. Right? We read about that in the Old Testament. And I'm sure that David was around some people that thought they were something there for a time. But he says, hey, from God's perspective, you may think you're strong, you may think you're self-assured, you may think that you're a rich person, but from God's perspective, you're little more than just a breath. You're just here, and then you're gone. And so David had to understand that. Then also he stated that one's labor, all one's labor in which he heaps up his possessions, are vain, for life is short. David observed man in verse 6, and then he looked at the existence of man and how their future is filled with uncertainties. Like Brother Terry preached here this morning, there's a lot of uncertainties that we face. And so human importance really isn't that important in comparison with God. Right? We always kind of live our lives that way, trying to make sure that people think we're important, but really, how does God feel about us? Are we living our lives for God? What importance do we have there towards God? People's busying about them gave them some status and wealth, and it even does that today. But even in their accomplishments, they share the fate of all. Humans are mortal and cannot control their affairs after their death. So their inability to control, know, and project themselves outside the sphere of human limitations characterizes that we're all just fragile, the fragile existence of man. So David was observing man, right? He was looking at man saying, hey, man is fragile. You're only going to be here for a short time. You're just going to be here for more than a breath, and then you're going to be gone, and people are going to be fighting over everything that you had accumulated over your course of time. If you were able to heap up a lot of riches, now people are just going to be fighting over what you were able to possess. So you're just here for just a short time. And then he was observing God. Like, man, God's been here forever. God will be with my generation, and then he's going to be from generation to generation. So no matter how accomplished they may be, they have an end. A short life indeed. So in other words, David was stating that he was aware of the brevity of life, and he hoped that the Lord would guide him in an understanding and acceptance of the shortness of life. Joshua just had his first day, first grade there on Monday, and he was kind of going back and forth if he wanted to call his granny or not. And I told him, I was like, you never know how many more first days of school you can talk to your granny. And so you just never know, what will happen, over the course of time. And it just kind of makes you think now, like, oh no, I'm getting older. I'm thinking about, hey, time is limited, but it really is. And so we should always cherish the time that we have. We never know how long we'll have somebody in our lives. So we should cherish the moments that we have with them. So David did not know when he would die, but he accepted the fact, and that's where we should be at here, what I want to get across here tonight, is that David did not know, he did not know when he would die, not specifically, but he accepted the fact that he would not live forever. And we should be in that situation as well. We know we're not going to live forever. We don't know when we're going to die, but we have to accept the fact that we're not going to live forever. He would live a short time compared to eternity and an everlasting God. And he wanted God to guide him as he accepted and understood the shortness of life. And so then he said there, verse 7, so you can imagine that David, he's observing man, he's observing God, and there's a lot of uncertainty that's probably going on in the mind of David. And then he says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? He says, my hope is in thee. I have no idea what's going to happen. Man is only here for a short time, and then he vanishes away. And he's like, I don't know when I'm going to die, but he says, hey, my hope is in thee. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I'm accepting that I'm not going to live forever. So his hope would be found in God. So we must understand it, the shortness of life, accept it, and allow God to guide us. We have a short amount of time left here on earth, so we should accept it and allow God to guide us. And to just cherish the moments that we have with our family. Cherish the moments there of going to work, just going and being with family, and you'll be able to be in church and just things like that. So think about this. What if God gave you personally a piece of paper to write your own obituary today? Right? What would they write? I think it was the lady that Chrissy works for, Tina, her aunt had passed away a couple years ago. And it was the most beautiful obituary I'd ever seen. Because normally it's just like a paragraph of somebody's life. And this was just this long, all these long paragraphs, just specifically saying what the person was. She was, I think, a nurse, and then she was like involved in her church, and it talked about all the different people she invested in. I was like, I want that person to write my obituary. You know, I just get this little paragraph, like a little statement, a little sentence. Right. But if you had that opportunity, what would you write? Yeah. I would think that we would all agree that would be a difficult task to complete. But it would cause you to think about your life, right? How long you've lived, what you've done in your life, what you've done for God, how God maybe has used you, just different things God's allowed you to see. So what would you write? I think if I was in that situation, I'd probably just give it to Chrissy. You know, like, hey, here you go. You could give it to a family member or a spouse or a friend. You know, what would they write? And then maybe that would make you nervous because you don't know what they're going to write. Well, I'm sure the first thing that would be mentioned is that you're a believer, you're a child of God, that you have a relationship with God, and then it's like just blank after that. It's like, okay, then what next? What after that? What about your life? You may not know, you may not want to give it to someone that knows you too well and will reveal that in the obituary, but what would they say about the way that you lived your life? You know, as you go through a cemetery, you find many tombstones, right? The starting date, you have a dash there in the middle, and then you have the year that they passed away. So you have a starting year, an ending year, but the life they lived is found in the dash between those two specific years. So what is Moses and David saying here? So here in Psalm 90, and then also here in Psalm 39 that we're looking at, they're saying, to sum it all up, all the different verses that we've read tonight, is that that little dash you have that's going to be written on your tombstone, right, at your graveside, to make that count for God. It will be a short time, but you must enjoy the life that God has given you. So enjoy life and to make the dash count. So think of Moses. He had his weaknesses. He had an anger issue that we see there in the Old Testament. But he was a great leader for the children of Israel. He was the leader that they desperately needed. He was a meek man, and he was also referred to as a friend of God. But he understood that life was short, and he needed to number his days, and he needed to spend his life trying to obtain wisdom. That's what we find there in Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we may apply them to wisdom. Not for ourselves, not for the world, not for somebody else, but that we may apply that shortness of life that we have to wisdom. And then you think of the life of David. Think of his best state as a man, as he mentions that phrase, the every man at his best state. He was a champion, he was an accomplished warrior, a leader. He was a celebrity there for a time, right, when he defeated Goliath. The ladies there singing his praises, and we know that Saul didn't like that. He was a skilled poet. We're reading some of his poetry here tonight. There, Psalm 39, as he was inspired there by the Holy Spirit. A musical genius, you think of him playing the harp, being able to give some relief to Saul, right? The bad spirit that Saul had, and David was able to give him some relief, able to provide that. A survivor, you think of Saul pursuing after him, and also Absalom, his son, trying to kill him. And then David was also a king. But he understood that even with all of his accomplishments, his best state as a man was all in vain. It was not going to last forever. So he wanted God to teach him that, to accept it, to accept the fact that he wasn't going to live forever. So compared to eternity, it would be a short life. Now to us, someone that lives over 100 years, you know, like you always want to know, like, you know, what they learned and everything that they went through. We always kind of contribute that to you know, different accomplishments they had or what tragedies they were able to be alive for. But compared to eternity, it's just a short life. So David understood that he needed to trust in God. His hope while in this brief journey of life would be in God. So from Psalm 39 and Psalm 90, we learn to enjoy life. Now, I know many times we stress out many times. I was talking about Anthony that there last Sunday night, thinking about when Chris and I first got married. And, you know, I don't have any regrets or anything like that. But it's just like, man, I think of just you know, not really taking everything in when we first got married. It's like, man, just, you know, you're learning how to pay bills and things like that. And you get so stressed out. But it's like, man, many times I think when we look back to life, you think, and, you know, old things in the past, you think, man, I should have just enjoyed it more. I should have really just enjoyed being in that moment and not stressing out and not being upset about something. And so from Psalm 39, Psalm 90, we learn to enjoy life. We're going to have uncertainties. We're going to have responsibilities, a lot of trials that are going to come. But we must learn to enjoy life. If God has given us another day of life, then we need to enjoy it. A brand of snacks that Joshua likes to eat, the brand there is Enjoy Life. And so it's for people with various food allergies. So despite the limitations that he has, right, all the different food allergies, the long list of them, they can enjoy life by eating something that will help them and not harm them. So think about us. We have a lot of limitations, right? We're only going to be here for a short time. But even though we have those limitations, we can enjoy life. You have just a short time here on earth, but you can still enjoy life. Life is short. Life is uncertain at times. Life makes you where you want to pull your hair out many times, many things that happen in your life. But with your limited days, spend them applying them to wisdom. You know, don't worry as much, don't overthink as much, but enjoy the time that God gives you. You know, you think of Miss Mary in our church, and she just has a short time. And Brother Kenneth and Miss Mary, some of the sweetest people I think anyone would ever meet. And they have a short amount of time. You know, they've been spending time with family. But think about if you were in that situation. How would you spend your final days? And then when we do pass away, what are our family members and friends going to say about us? Are they going to say, hey, this person lived for God. This person wasn't rich. He wasn't flashy in any means, but hey, he lived for the Lord, or she lived for God. She was able to raise her kids to serve the Lord, and they're still serving the Lord to this day. So what will people say about us? As they read that book, right? Think of us, maybe, I think of the book, if we live for a long time, maybe the thicker that it is. But hey, what is that book going to say? That they spent their life not living for themselves, but applying their lives there to wisdom. Brother Terry?